The discussion entitled, Is World Organization Possible? Will be carried on by a group of students from West High School of Minneapolis. Those taking part in the discussion are Dorothy Dodge, Enid Boys, and Martha Struthers. They are members of the Foreign Policy Club of West High School and are under the direction of Miss Amanda Sundin. We now turn the discussion over to the student chairman, Dorothy Dodge.
Is world organization possible? Today, we're winning a second chance to build an enduring peace. To take the hit out of Hitler isn't enough to inspire the sacrifices necessary for victory. The ideals Roosevelt expressed in the Four Freedoms and that were embodied in the Atlantic Charter must be eventual goals for the world, just as the ideals in our Declaration of Independence have been goals of the United States. The failures of the past are history. The future is ours. We must not lose this second chance. Let's see how we line up on this question. Enid?
Since no place on earth is safe from attack, we're simply forced to adopt collective security or face the horrors of a third world war. Of course, it'll be a long, hard job to perfect it.
Martha, sometimes I feel we'd better wait till the war is won and the peace made. Then we'd know the setup in the world. That might influence our plan.
But Martha, don't you agree with me that the terms of peace will depend on whether or not there is a world organization? If it seems effective, Russia, for example, won't have to worry about her boundaries.
Yes, but Russia can't yet be dead sure of our Senate's attitude. And how about the recent alliance between France and Russia? This doesn't show any too much faith in a world organization. I think you girls have shown that there certainly is a great need for collective security. Without it, there's danger the world will drift back into its old habits of alliances, balance of power, and the kind of power politics that have led to wars in the past. Enid, why can we expect the new organization to materialize?
During the war, we've certainly seen plenty of evidence of cooperative spirit. In fact, ever since the Declaration of the United Nations was drawn up soon after Pearl Harbor.
Yes, they agreed not only to defeat the Axis, but to promote the principles of the Atlantic Charter. This gives us a spiritual foundation for our one world.
We've made many improvements over the League of Nations, and not only has there been cooperation between the chiefs of staff and pooling of military and other resources for the war, but men of different allied nationalities even have fought together in the same unit.
Isn't our Lend-Lease a good example of cooperation? We not only give, but receive.
Besides, the big powers have worked together successfully in conferences. What about these, Enid?
In October of 43 at Moscow, the Big Four advocated an international organization. Then at Cairo, Roosevelt, Churchill, Chiang Kai-shek decided on the unconditional surrender of Japan. At Tehran, the Big Three welcomed all nations opposed to tyranny to join them. Other conferences have been held for various purposes.
If the big powers can agree on fundamentals, it shouldn't be difficult for all those who desire peace to work together. All through history, we've seen that there are economic causes for war. Hunger is one of them. To help solve the food problem, the Food and Agricultural Organization was established. Martha, is this just a tide over the present situation?
No, it isn't, Dorothy. It's a permanent plan to make agricultural production more efficient all over the world, and thus raise the standard of living of all people.
It goes without saying that better health, longer life, greater working capacity should produce less discontent, and therefore lessen cause for war. However, thousands of people are starving now. What about them, Enid?
UNRWA is for temporary relief and rehabilitation. Stocks of food have been and are being collected and distributed to feed these people. Also, the aim is to provide long-term, provide what they need to get them back on their feet again. UNRWA will also help solve the problem of the dislocated thousands.
Now that we know serious cooperative attempts are being made to solve the food problem, has any other effort been made to remove the economic cause for war?
In July 44 at Bretton Woods, machinery was set up to stabilize currencies and provide long-term credit for permanent reconstruction. It consists of an international monetary fund and a bank for reconstruction and development to supply long-term investment capital for a specified project.
But hasn't there been a good deal of opposition to this Bretton Woods plan, Dorothy?
Congressional approval of the bank seems assured, Martha. But there is opposition to some of the features of the Stabilization Fund, especially by the American Banking Association.
However, Dorothy, according to the Vice President of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank, Dr. Upgren, the financial risk is slight as compared with the risk of war.
It's expected that the fund and the bank will help promote trading arrangements all around the world in the post-war period.
A balanced trade for all nations and removal of the other trade barriers would give us an economic foundation for peace.
Well then, Martha, how about a political foundation for world order?
Last fall at Dumbarton Oaks, a plan was drawn up for an international organization for peace and security. It's not a set plan, just an outline to be completed at the San Francisco Conference, April 25th, as planned at Yalta by our late presidents, Churchill and Stalin. It's the result the result of deep study by various groups over a long period of time, and it contains what the big four powers, with different attitudes, could agree on.
Enid, what machinery has been planned?
An assembly in which all the member nations are to have one vote. It controls the budget and is the policy-making body. It's assisted by an economic and social council. The two-third vote on important decisions and a simple majority in others is an improvement on the League.
As we haven't time for much detail, Martha, what are some of the main features of the Security Council?
It serves as an executive committee, continuously in session with only 11 members, 5 permanent and 6 smaller nations elected by the Assembly to rotate every 2 years. This Security Council decides when economic or military force is to be used. It's assisted by a military staff, and its business is to prevent aggression. The armed forces made available to the Security Council give peace to the organization.
The machinery to be set up at San Francisco, based on the Dumbarton Oak proposal, will be only a beginning to be improved upon with time. Its success will depend on the backing of a strong, enlightened public opinion, a public opinion that has an understanding and a willingness to compromise for the welfare of the whole world. Each must give up certain sovereign powers to preserve their own safety and integrity as nations.
Well, why are we justified in feeling optimistic about the ratification by our Senate of the United Nations Organization?
For one thing, the organization is not a part of the treaty yet after World War I.
It's predicted that not more than 20 senators will oppose it, while it takes 33 to defeat the plan.
In 1920, it was made a part of an issue.
What's been done to prevent a repetition of this, Martha?
The State Department, through a bipartisan committee of senators, has kept the Senate continually advised on its foreign policy. Also, Congress is on record as favoring collective security in the 2B-2H resolution, also the Fulbright resolution in the House, and the Connolly in the Senate.
Last year in the presidential election, the candidates and the platforms of the two major parties stood for collective security. No doubt many Republicans have been influenced by Wendell Willkie and his One World, by Commander Stassen's forceful stand, and by Senator Vandenberg.
Then, too, the wise choice of delegates to the San Francisco Conference on a nonpartisan basis surely will not be overlooked by the Senate.
Also, today we have a better informed public opinion due to the press, radio, public meetings, and organizations. Controversial issues will arise at San Francisco, and later, we can't expect full accord, but we mustn't let the smaller issues obscure the biggest one to prevent war.
And by all means, the United States must not shun the responsibility of leadership expected of a great nation.
Don't you think our late president symbolized that leadership?
Yes. It's the prevailing opinion that this deep bereavement our nation and the world has suffered will inspire greater unity and greater effort to achieve the end for which he sacrificed his life.
You have just heard a discussion entitled, Is World Organization Possible? Heard on the program today were Dorothy Dodge, Enid Boys, and Martha Struthers, members of the Foreign Policy Club of West High School in Minneapolis. This is part of the School of the Air, originating in New York and in Minneapolis. The next School of the Air program will be heard on Monday at 2:30. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul. 20 seconds until 3 p.m., BULOVA, Boulevard Watch Time. Regardless of price, from $25 to $2,500, no other fine watch offers such accuracy, beauty, and value as Boulevard.